I grew up in and out of church. I didn't understand a lot of what was going on, and in some cases, there wasn't anything going on. How many have been in those churches where there wasn't anything going on? There's a lot of activity, but there was no substance. There was no life, right? And so I was like, well, they don't have the answers here. It's not what I'm looking for. So, and I started looking for love in all the wrong places. How did that work for me? Not good at all. You got to look for God, amen? He's love, the true God, the living God. But I didn't understand a lot of what was going on, and you know, I just came to kind of check out the chicks and, you know, and pass notes, and I was totally distracted in my mind. And how many beside myself ever done that before? You've been distracted in church, you know. I think most of the hands should have gone up about right then and say, yeah, that was a good place to put my hand up and be, you know. The enemy wants to get us distracted. Because what God wants to do is download something eternal into your spirit. And the enemy wants to divert that from happening. And if he can get us off focus, then he can break the flow of God's spirit as he wants to pour into your life and bring transformation. And a lot of times, like when I was younger, I kind of observed things. I watched what people were doing around me, and I had been in occasionally in a situation where we were a church like this. It was a charismatic church, and they, you know, there was something happening. But I was more of an observer than a participant. How many know I'm talking about? You just kind of were just kind of checking it out, but not quite sure what to think of it or make of it, or whether or not I should even get involved with those crazy people or not. Because, but yet I get out in the world, man, and I just party up a storm, and I drink, and I would pass out and vomit and all that good stuff that comes along with that. TMI, right? Yeah, but. But, you know, it was like party and screaming and acting a fool, you know. And yet, come to church, it's like, yep. Like we don't have something to really celebrate here, yep. You know. And if I read my Bible correctly, it's full of praise, adoration, clapping of hands, shouting to God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Dancing before the Lord. Celebrating with all types of instruments. Praising the great God of heaven, the great God, the Creator, as you and I are just the creation, just the creation. And all things were created for Him and by Him and for His pleasure. We're here for His pleasure today. How many came here for His pleasure today? I used to come to church for my pleasure, what I could get out of it. And I've discovered something. When I'm not here for me, as much as I am for somebody else, that I get blessed and somebody else gets blessed. That's how it works in the kingdom. You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. That's right. He didn't have his own agenda. He was only in agreement with the Father's agenda. He said, I've only come to do my Father's will. I've come to do the work of my Father. And he had a short time to do it. He did what he saw his Father do. He spoke what he heard his Father speak. But he said, I didn't come to be served. And I came to give my life away, a ransom for many. Jesus laid down his life for us. He gave us an example of what selflessness really looked like. He gave us an example of what perfection looked like. If you want to see a perfect man, look at the life of Jesus Christ. He was the only perfect man. Amen. And I want to be like the one I love. But there came a time in my life where I became desperate for something more. There came a time in my life where I knew that I needed more than what I had. And what I had and what I thought I had was not working at all. It was not satisfying me. I wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilled. I had no peace, no joy, no real joy. Except the momentary joy I got from drugs or whatever else I could find, sex, whatever, to satisfy myself with. But I found the true love and the joy and the peace and the satisfaction that comes through a relationship with a living God who came to dwell within my heart. And he made me into a brand new man. It was incredible, the transformation that took place in my life. I mean, it was nothing I could have done in my own strength. I couldn't have listened to enough self-help tapes to ever get what Jesus did for me in a moment when I was willing to open my heart to Him and allow Him in. And so often, and I see it even today, that sometimes we are being distracted by things and we're actually shut down. We're in the house and we're in the presence of God, but we're shut down to what He's doing and we're not open. If you want the devil out and Jesus in, you got to give Him room. Amen. You got to give Him 100%. If you want Him, give Him 100%. Hallelujah. You know, I can remember making deals with God. Anybody beside myself make deals with God? Well, I'll give a little, take a little, give a little, you know. And God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And as soon as you got what you wanted, it's like, well, so much for my end of the bargain, right? But all along, God had been working in my life. He was there. He was pleading. He was wooing me. He was allowing things to happen to get my attention because He loved me so much and He wanted me to be with Him forever. He didn't want me lost in the devil's hell because all of us have sinned and all of us are born into a wretched condition. I know the world says, oh, no, man is intrinsically good. Well, take a look at the world around you. Hello. Smell the coffee, right? How far has politics got us in this world situation? How's that worked? Do you think that man is going to sit around a table and negotiate world peace? That's been going on for thousands of years. There's not going to be any world peace until there's peace in the hearts of men. Amen? And that is when the Prince of Peace comes. To establish His reign, first of all, in us as an individual. It's called being born of His Spirit. Coming into Christ. And then corporately, as His family, His people come together as a temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants to inhabit us. And God wants to bring heaven to earth through you and I. That's what we're all looking for. We're looking for heaven. We're just looking for it in the wrong place. If I can just get one more toy, make one more dollar, have everything just so in my life, then I'll have arrived at paradise. If I can just make that trip to the Bahamas, I'll be at rest. I'll be in paradise. Put my feet up in the sand. And then a mosquito comes up and nails you right in the neck. And you're reminded once again, we're in a fallen world. We need God. He's like the air. We have to have God. Life is never going to matter or make sense until you return to the author of your life. The God who created you with purpose. You're never going to know why, the reason why you're here, your purpose, until you discover the God who put you here and placed you here with purpose. And He invites us to come. And there's only one way to come. And that is through Jesus Christ, the Son, who made a way through the blood of the cross for us to be restored to fellowship. When you are truly born again, when the Spirit of Christ is truly in you, you will praise Him. You will thank Him. You will be thankful. You will give yourself to serve the Lord. Not as a means of being justification, of being justified, but because you are justified, because your heart has been touched by the living God and you have that Spirit of you, of Christ in you. Amen. Compelling you, motivating you to love and to serve and to bless and to be a vessel that God uses. You cannot have Christ in you and not have His desires working in and through your life. So check yourself out today. Are you really born again? Because a lot of people, they'll come and they'll say, yeah, I want to get right with God. But they're like I was doing, making deals with God. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. You can't save something He doesn't have. God cannot save you unless He has you. God cannot forgive you until you repent. You turn away from your ways and you give yourself to Him. Trust your heart to God. You must be born again. There's a lot of people that play church and practice religion every week that are not saved and not going to heaven. They don't even know it. Because they're doing something externally, but internally they're just corrupt. They haven't been changed. They haven't been transformed. The Spirit of Christ is not in them. You know, you can live a holy life externally. You can live a pure life externally. You can live a moral life externally and yet be totally corrupt internally. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He says, you make the outside of the cup and platter, right? You make the outside of the platter clean, but inside you're dead, he said. And I know what it is. I've been a person that's tried to please people most of my life. I'll get around somebody I want to fit in. I'll just do what they're doing so that they'll like me and they'll accept me and I'll be one of them. How did that work? Maybe that's where you're at today. You're just trying to make people like you. You just want somebody to love you. So you're always giving yourself away and compromising what you know is right just so people will like you. And after that, they use you and then they throw you out and you try again and you're never satisfied. And you're never finding what you're really looking for until you discover that your life is never going to make sense until you return to your Creator. There are many people who hear messages after messages and yet they're never changed. Why? Because their hearts are not brought to a place of repentance and brokenness. They haven't come to a realization of their true condition. They think that all I got to do is get some self-help techniques and teachings and get a few more CDs of the six steps to success and my life will be so much better. And after going through that, you find that your life still isn't better. Because the only one that can make your life better is Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, He's not going to barge the door down. He's not going to kick the door down. And, you can come up and you can even get prayed for. And people can pour their heart out over you. But if you're closed down inside and you're not willing to trust God and open the door and let Him come in, it's just like praying for a stump. And you're going to leave the same way you came. See, there's a witness of the Holy Spirit in you with the Spirit in me. Amen? And that's why when you hear truth, if you have the Spirit of truth, you come alive. You're like, yeah, I love it. Even when it means correction, it's like, I still love it. We're of the truth. I appreciate it when somebody tells me the truth. I don't want to be deceived. Oh, hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Lord, we just ask You once again to impart truth into our hearts with understanding. Lord, we pray that we would not just hear the word today and forget about it, but Lord, that we will take it to heart and that we will live accordingly. In Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. When we talk about purity, if we use gold as an example, it means unmixed. If you have pure gold, it's not mixed with any other impurities. God wants a pure people, an unmixed people, a holy people. Holiness is integration, meaning what I think, what I do, what I say is in agreement. It's in harmony. There's no disconnect. Amen. Who I am inside or outside, it agrees as well. All of us know what it is to be a poser. At some time in our life, we've been a hypocrite. How many beside myself have been a hypocrite at least once in your life, right? You put on some kind of air. You've pretended to be somebody you're not because maybe you wanted to fit in with somebody. Yep. And be part of that group or that crowd or that gang, whatever it might have been. But we tried to act or dress like or talk like that person that we wanted to be like. And so we were not being authentic to who we really are, but we were counterfeit. Amen? We were a fake. How many like fake people? How many like authentic people? You want people that are real, right? That what you see is what you get. What you hear is what they mean. What they're thinking, what they're saying, what they're doing is actually the same. We all do. We all know what it's like to go and purchase a car, right? And the salesman comes out. And he's just trying to read you right off the bat to figure out what kind of personality you are and how he's going to approach you and how he's going to get you to buy something that you don't really want. Uh-huh. Or to sell you a lemon, right? Not all salesmen are that way. There's some good salesmen, but you know, we've all run into a few, right? I have. I hate buying a car for that reason, because I'm like, usually I'll spend just a few moments with somebody and I can tell right away whether they're real or not. Right. Amen. After a while, you learn to discern. You say, this guy is fake here. And you know what? He's just trying to rake me over the coals. I'm gone. Out of here. Bye. I won't even buy from somebody like that. Amen. I come into there and they're just like real. They're just people. They're like people to people. Hey, okay, we can talk here. Man, let's see what we can do. You know, you want to bless people like that, don't you? That care about you. How many know that God cares about you? How many want to bless the God who cares about you? The pure in heart, those who are holy, will see God. The most, hear it today, the most important part of you and I is our heart. It's not our dress. It's not how we look. And the world has to learn that, right? In Hollywood, they may look beautiful, but what about the heart? What's the condition of the heart? Some of our politicians are pretty good at putting on a good show and saying certain things to make you think that they believe a certain way, when actually they have a different agenda altogether. They're just trying to dupe you for a vote. And then we find out later on, amen, once they get in the office, who they really are. The pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart are those who are able to see God, hear me, in everyday life. You see, it's a good heart that produces a good life. Not a good life that produces a good heart. The world says, if everything is just so, you have all the money you need, all the popularity, all the power, whatever people are pursuing, all the toys that you wanted, then you'll have a good life. How many have seen the commercials talking about the good life? And yet you can interview people from the good life, and maybe you know what I'm talking about yourself. You pursued the good life only to find out that the good life didn't produce in you what you thought it would. You're still empty and void of real peace and satisfaction, even though you may have had all the toys and had a bank account that at least you could, you know, you're not worrying about where the next meal's coming from. And we can trust in those uncertain things, but they let us down. So everything begins at the core of us. All life flows out of the heart. God communicates with us in the heart, or the spirit, the core of your being. There's a place where we commune with God, where God speaks to us by His Spirit. And it's that part of us that has to be purified, refined, has to be brought into integration with our minds and our bodies. That heart. You can't put love in a test tube. Let's examine love today. How do I love you? Let me count the ways. No, love is beyond something that we can put in a test tube and test and discover. It's something that is just there. It's within us. You know what I'm talking about? It's very much a spiritual thing. And so, a pure-hearted person is a holy person, an integrated person. And a holy person is a person who has their eyes open to be able to see God in the sense that I'm seeing the goodness of God. I'm seeing the glory of God. I'm seeing the expression of my Father's artistic ability in creation. I can see God, and now it sounds New Agey, right? I can see God in the leaves and in the trees and in the flowers. And well, yes, because it's all God's creation and it speaks of His glory in the heavens, declare the glory of the Lord. And so we can see God if we have a pure heart. But what happens is our hearts are corrupted by sin and they become clouded and our vision becomes obscured and now we're no longer able to see God in anything, and instead all we now see is what's wrong, what's broken, what's not right. And sometimes this even bleeds over into the pulpits where you have some preachers that somehow all they can find is what's wrong. All they preach about is what's broken and what's wrong, and they're not discovering the goodness of God. They're not seeing God anymore. And they get a critical spirit, and all they do is compare themselves to everybody else, and look how holy I am and how unholy they are. And so, it's a good heart that produces a good life. And unless we deal with the heart, and that's what God deals with first, is the heart. Unless you deal with your heart, the issues of your heart, your life will continue to be the way it always has been, even if you add all kinds of things to your life. Making sense? You can have all the toys and be miserable. It's like the spoiled brat kid that got everything he ever wanted, but appreciates nothing and respects nobody. Those things were not going to produce good character. And unfortunately, I think we have some of them in office today. We see God in the Word. We see God by His Spirit as He's revealed to us. You can't learn God in a classroom. There's some people that are ever learning, ever studying, ever listening to tapes, ever listening to this and that speaker, and yet really never coming to a knowledge of God, knowing Him personally. How can that be? Because their vision is obscured, because the heart has never been prepared to receive the Word in the first place. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to an understanding that we are depraved, that we are a mess. And on the outside, we can present any image that we want people to see, and we can fool people, but we don't fool God. And only God can change our hearts. And God wants to change us. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. God wants to transform. God wants to make you and I into a new creation. God wants to make us into heavenly people. With heaven's perspective. Because when our heart is not right, then nothing in our life is right. And all we do is complain and find fault with this and that and nitpick. When our heart is not right, it will be manifested in the fruit of a mouth that is speaking things it should not. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it shall eat its fruit. The more that we lend ourselves to hell, amen, the more that we invite hell into our lives. The more that we speak things that we should not, when all we're doing is looking at wrong and broken and complaining about everything that's not right in our lives, guess what? You're lending yourself to hell and you're giving the devil an opportunity, because one of the names of the devil is Beelzebub, which is prince of flies. And you know what flies are attracted to? So if we're thinking stinking thinking, speaking stinky things, the devil is attracted to dead things. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to say, hey, back here. What are you doing over there? Playing in the pile. Don't you know that's attracting the flies? They're going to infest you. You know what they like to do? They like to lay eggs. You know what those eggs become? Maggots. And what do maggots do? They eat dead things. So if we want to lend ourselves to hell and speak those things and think those things, then that's going to be the fruit of what we have sown. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. God created everything with the word of His power. And He said all things are good. Sometimes people see God through supernatural visions. You know, God will appear in a vision form to them. We're certainly going to see God in eternity, aren't we? And we should be looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. We shall see God. We shall see God when He comes. Amen. In clouds of glory. Jesus said to the Pharisees, who on the outside they appeared so righteous, in Matthew 23:26, He said, "You blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," if you didn't know, they were the religious leaders of that time. He says, "You're hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Now, what I'm trying to say today is, folks, you and I both know there are times when we have played the hypocrite. We have played the role. Amen. It's like my brother just said earlier about sometimes we pretend that everything is okay and we can fool people into thinking everything is okay when it really is not. But unless we're willing to deal with the issues of the heart, our lives will continue to go down that spiral path. Amen. That leads into dead places. Amen. And death itself. And so we've got to come up out of the sewer, amen? And out of those things and those stinking things and forsake those things and start to, Philippians 4:6, to get on the right thought patterns and start to think on what is lovely and pure and good report, amen? And quit lending ourselves to hell. Be a vessel of the enemy. I'm just going to be honest with you today because I'm going to be honest with you any day. But I'm going to just be open and transparent with you. I can tell you personally, when I start to slip away from the Lord, and I'm not praying like I'm supposed to, and I'm not in the Word like I'm supposed to be, and I'm not in fellowship like I should be, the next thing I do is I start getting critical. It turns into criticalness. And then all of a sudden, everybody else is the reason why I'm having problems. Then it turns into a blame game. And so we think that if I can somehow, when my heart is backslidden, it's not right with God, if somehow I can just change my external circumstances, somebody say amen, amen. That somehow that's going to produce a good life for me. But one thing you cannot do, you cannot change your heart. Only God can change the heart. And that's what needs to be changed, because there are people who have very little of anything in this life, but they're full of the love of Jesus. Amen. And their life, they can find glory. They can find goodness in simple things that we would say, what? One chicken a week and you're celebrating that? The reason they can celebrate that one chicken a week is because they have heaven in their heart. They have a pure heart. They have a right heart with God. And so that's the right heart that produces the right life. Do you see it? Because sometimes, folks, we're pursuing things and we think once we get to that thing, then we set another goal and we get to that thing and we get to the next thing and, you know, we set another goal. And when every time we reach that goal, it's like, well, there's still something missing. Maybe if I can just have one more thing added to my pile of stuff. Or clothes, or shoes. It's getting quiet in here. Just one more pair of shoes. That ought to satisfy me. Nothing wrong with having shoes, ladies. I'm just But we don't want those things, amen, to take the place of God. We know that only the Lord can satisfy. Only the Lord can produce a good life. When our hearts are right with God, then everything is silver lined. Come on, somebody say amen. You remember the time when you were born again, and then you came into your depravity, and you laid your life down and said, Jesus, forgive me, save, do something with this mess. And Jesus intervened, and He came in, and He gave us a shower on the inside, and everything just lit up, and we're like, whoa! Everything, man, and stuff happened, and you're just like, psh. No big deal. But then the enemy gets to work. And little by little, he starts to try to sow a seed here, sow a seed there, get you to compromise. He tells you stuff like, you don't need to pray. You're doing great. You're a strong Christian. You don't need to go to church like those other people do. Because you're a strong Christian. I have watched a lot of strong Christians go right down the tubes. Because they listened to that voice that got them proud of their own accomplishments to where they're no longer humbling themselves or submitting themselves under the power of God. But now they were taking their confidence in themselves, and the world has esteemed them, and they have been told some good things even by other fellow believers that's made them think that somehow they're a superior Christian and they don't need to pray like those other Christians. They don't need to read the Bible like these other Christians. They don't need to be in fellowship like these other Christians. And next thing you know, they're down in the toilet of life. And they're saying, how did I get here? Wow. I hope you're enjoying this. I want to be told the truth. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to be fake. That's the thing I like about this group of people here, is that we have authentic hearts. You can come here and you don't have to be a fake. Amen. You don't have to anyways. But when you come here, you know, we're all in this together. We're here to help each other through. Amen. There's nobody here that's perfect. But we want to help each other. And if there's something wrong in my heart, God help me. I don't want to live in that situation where my heart is not right with God and that I'm not right with my Maker. And I don't want to fool myself and give myself grace when it's not the grace of God. That grace doesn't save you. Some people are going to hell because they give themselves grace, but it's not the grace that saves. They're justifying what they do. The devil comes up and says, hey, here's an excuse for you. You don't need to deal with it. Just pretend it's okay. Just compare yourself to that guy over there. Well, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. You get it? We've got to say, God, I want my heart right with you. I don't want anything to come between us. Lord, I want a pure heart. Lord, I want to give you 100% of me, body, soul, and spirit, because I want to be filled with the love of Jesus. I want to be filled with the glory of God. I want my life to be filled with you, Lord, because then my eyes will be opened up. The eyes of my understanding, I'll begin to know what is true. I'll be able to discern what is true and what is false. I'll be able to see clearly in the Spirit. I don't want anything to hinder or come between me and the Lord. I want to be pure. So I got to quit pretending. I got to quit making excuses for why I do what I do. I'm only human. Blah. Quit making excuses for that. You're superhuman if you're in Christ. You're a new creation. You have a supernatural God living on the inside of you who enables you to live above the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is no excuse for me taking my body and giving it to fornication or adultery. Amen. Or indulging my body in things that I know that I shouldn't be taking into my body. Or allowing my mind to go places where it shouldn't go. Or looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. There's no excuse for that. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. And you will worship what you fear. God has given us the ability to say no to the flesh. The sin nature shall not have dominion over you. Shall not have dominion over you. Because you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you are in Christ, then you are no longer a slave to your flesh or to your sin nature. You have to crucify that. You have to say no to that part of you. And you have to feed yourself and worship God and cry out to God. Man, if people would just cry out to God, and they'll see the chains come off. I'm not here to observe somebody else getting blessed. I want to be blessed. Amen. Folks, I care about you. And that's why I tell you the truth. Even if you hate me, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to love you back. Because it's only the truth that's going to set you free. And sanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And that's fine. The insanity it is when we think that somehow we can live independent of God and have a life that's going to be full and complete. If I can just fill myself up with all these things, then I'll have a good life. But we find out that we're still miserable and broken and wretched and naked and blind on the inside. Amen. And life is not, even though people may think we got it all together. You know, people drive through some neighborhood and say, man, they really got it together. Look what they've got, you know. And they don't understand that going on behind those walls, there's fighting, there's backbiting, there's misery, there's emptiness, there's people that are committing suicide because the very thing that they worshipped and they sought their whole life to accomplish, they accomplished only to find out that they're just as empty as they've always been. Because it's not the external life that produces a life. It's the heart. A good heart. A right heart that produces a right life. So even in the simplicity of life, the little things, you can see the beauty, the glory of God. You know, even children, how many of us when we were kids, you know, we could pick up sticks and stones and find something to play with. You know, we didn't have to have a whole lot. We could find things to do. We could enjoy simple things. How many of you I'm talking about? And as we get older, we're going to have complicated things. We have to have the big, shiny, you know, loud things in life. And then we get those things, it's like, well, about a week later, I'm ready for something else because now the luster has already worn off. And that shiny new car now has a few dents in it. Rusting out. You know what I'm saying? My dad says, well, when you buy a new car, just go out and scratch it. Just go ahead and put a scratch in it because that way you're not going to be upset when it does get scratched, right? Yeah. Because eventually somebody's going to open their car door and go, boom. Oh, sorry, dude. Yeah. But that stuff, how many of you know what I'm talking about? That stuff, it's just not going to do it for you. God wants you to have a life that is full, that is abundant. A life that is overflowing with love and joy and peace and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. A life that is in control, that you have control over, self-control. God gives you a sound mind. God gives you a peace that passes all understanding. God gives us a love, a perfect love where there is no fear. We're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of people because the love of God has flooded our hearts. And in God, there is no fear. And the pure in heart are the ones who are filled with God because only God can make you pure. You can have a clean plate, but it can be empty. There's a lot of people that are living clean lives, but their lives are still empty because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to get into obedience. You've got to start listening to God. God says, get rid of this because this is an area that I want to fill in your life. Okay, Lord, it goes. Anything else? I want you to get rid of that. Okay, Lord, it goes. Because I want you to fill my life. Oh, God, you're welcome to go into the attic and take a look. You're welcome to go into the basement. Yes, you can look in that side closet nobody else knew about, but I know you knew about it, God. You can go in there and go ahead and sweep it out, Lord. Go ahead and deal with this stuff because I don't want anything in my heart. I don't want any bitterness, any unforgiveness towards anyone. I don't want any envy or jealousy or any of these things in me. Amen. I want to be a pure vessel that God can fill up with His Spirit and have a pure heart where I will be able to see God in even the simple things of life. I'll have a different perspective. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. New Living Translation says it this way: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See, it is a good heart that produces a good life. Not all the right circumstances, all the right environment, you know, situation that produces in me a right environment. How is it that Jesus could sleep in the midst of a storm? The disciples were freaking out. They thought they were going to die. Jesus has crashed out. Because he was not going to allow external things to dictate the level of peace in his heart. Why? Because he had peace with his Father in his heart. And it was well with his soul. And that's where we need to be. We need to know that it's right with our soul, that I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that I've entered into covenant with Him. I am in agreement with Him. I am dealing with the things He tells me to deal with. I'm getting rid of anything in my life that in any way would hinder me in knowing Him. Amen? And my walk with Him. Let's get rid of it. Get the garbage out so you can get heaven in. Does that make sense? In Luke 6:45, Jesus said this: a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. In other words, you and I have the option of what we're going to draw out, what we're going to speak, what we're going to think on. You can't avoid getting evil thoughts, but you can control. You can say no to entertaining evil thoughts. The devil will drop evil thoughts in any one of us. And you can't control that, but you can control what you do with that. You have to resist temptation. You have to say no to that. I know this doesn't please the Lord. I'm not doing it. And I know if I start to speak these things, that it's going to be like vomiting on people. It's going to defile others. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to align myself with heaven. Amen. Because I don't want those stinking flies all over me laying maggots. Amen. And eating up the dead flesh and creating an atmosphere of hell. I want to have the heaven in my heart. Amen. And I want to operate from the heavenly man and not from the earthly man. I got to put the earthly man to death, and I need to feed the heavenly man, amen? The manna of God's Word, the pure Word of God, amen? That washes, that purifies, that renews my mind, that brings my mind, my thought life, into agreement with the Spirit of Christ. And then I begin to move by the Spirit and operate by the Spirit. How many know I'm talking about today that this is something that we need to make a deliberate choice to do? We have to agree with the Spirit of God. Amen. And deny that other voice. How many today would say and be honest that there's some areas in your life that you know are really not right with God, but you want to get them right? Anybody beside myself here? There's areas in my life that really are not where they need to be. There's some things that are not, have not been dealt with, or unresolved things in my life, but I want to get it right. I want to have a pure heart. I want God, amen, more than anything else. I don't want this other stuff in me. I want this stuff gone, and I want the Spirit of God in me. How many would say, yes, that's me today? Because if you're open, and you're willing, and you're obedient to submit yourself to God, God will give you the authority, amen, to deal with those things in your life right now. And I'm going to do something that we do occasionally here, and I'm going to take us through a prayer, and it's going to be a corporate prayer. And if you mean business with God, and you really want to deal with some things that you know are not right in your spirit, and you want to get them out of your life, then you take authority. Because God, if you're a Christian today, Christ is in you, you've been given authority in the spirit, amen, to deal with demons, with strongholds, to demolish them. And somebody gave me this prayer for deliverance, and it's so good that I think it would be good for us to go through together in just this moment. How many are all in for this? Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to repeat these words, and I want you from your heart, I want you to repeat them, but I want you to speak to the Lord today. Amen? Are we okay with that? Okay, here we go. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I loose myself from all relationships that are not ordained of God. All relationships that are not of the Spirit, but of the flesh. All relationships based on control, domination, or manipulation. And all relationships based on lust and deception. In the name of Jesus, I loose all members of my body, including my mind, memory, ears, eyes, tongue, hands, feet, and my entire sexual character. From all lust, perversion, sexual impurity, uncleanness, lasciviousness, promiscuity, pornography, fornication, homosexuality, fantasy, filthiness, burning passion, and uncontrollable sex drive. I loose myself from the effects of all bad memories, painful memories, and memories of the past that would hinder me in the present or future. I loose myself from all occult activity, involvement, all sorcery, divination, witchcraft, psychic inheritance, rebellion, all confusion, sickness, death, and destruction as a result of occult involvement. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority given to me to bind and loose, I loose my emotions from every evil spirit that has come in as a result of experiences of the past. I loose myself from all hurt, deep hurt, pain, sadness, grief, anger, hatred, rage, bitterness, fear, and bound and blocked emotions. I command these spirits to come out, and I decree freedom to my emotions. In the name of Jesus, I loose my mind from all spirits of mind control, confusion, mental bondage, insanity, madness, fantasy, passivity, intellectualism, knowledge block, ignorance, mind binding, lust, and evil thinking. I loose myself from all guilt, shame, condemnation, self-condemnation, and legalism. I loose my will from all control, domination, and manipulation from Satan, his demons, and other people. I loose my will from all lust, rebellion, stubbornness, pride, self-will, selfishness, and anti-submissive spirits that block and hinder my will. I break and loose myself from all chains around my will, and I submit my will to the will of God. In Jesus' name, I declare over my life that I am free from all these things. In Jesus' name, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You are no longer welcome in my life. Go now. Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. Overflow my life with the glory of God. Bring me into the joy and righteousness and peace of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare I am free. Free indeed. Amen. Woo!